What's up, guys? I'm here with Justin Rice, the head of ecosystem of the Stellar Development Foundation. How are you doing today, Justin?
Great. Happy to be here.
Excellent. So we have a lot to get through here. I know a lot of people that are listening are curious to hear about the Stellar Development Foundation, but let's kind of kick things off, I guess, with a basics foundation for everybody. So what is Stellar, first of all, and then how does the foundation fit into it?
Great. Stellar is a platform that connects all the world's currencies. It enables any kind of currency to be represented or any kind of asset to be issued. So it's a blockchain network that makes it very easy at the protocol level to issue an asset. And that also makes it easy to connect those assets that live on the network to underlying value that they represent. So anyone can build on Stellar. It's open participation. It is open source, and it is a very open community and ecosystem of projects and developers that work together to create things that take advantage of this platform or this backend, this blockchain network, to settle transactions. The Stellar Development Foundation is a nonprofit organization that supports the development and growth of this open source network. So we are mission driven. We seek to unlock the world's economic potential and to increase equitable access to the global financial system.
Very cool. Very cool. So Stellar being a network, there is a token on top of the network, correct?
Let me answer that in two ways. Stellar is set up to allow anyone to issue a token on the network. So There are actually 9,000 tokens on the Stellar network. Many of them represent real world currencies. So there are US dollar tokens, there are peso tokens, there are Nigerian Naira tokens, there are even Bitcoin and ETH tokens. Stellar also has a native token called Lumens. Mm-hmm. The currency code is XLM. Those tokens are really there in order to encourage considerate use of the ledger. And so you use them. Stellar requires a small minimum Lumen balance to hold an account. And also you pay transaction fees in Lumens. But the primary purpose of the network is to allow anyone and to issue a token, and specifically regulated financial institutions to issue essentially stable coins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the I believe it was like an airdrop that you guys partnered with. It was over like $100 million worth of XLM, and I remember just how big of a deal that was in the space. Everybody was talking about it, and it was such a brilliant move. Was that the Stellar Development Foundation that was really spearheading that airdrop to get the word out, or how did that kind of come about?
I'm not sure exactly which airdrop you're talking about, so I don't know all the details. But I will say that in general, the SDF has stewards a treasury of Lumens. Mm-hmm. That we distribute based on a mandate. So sort of any time that we are giving away Lumens, it's a very public act. I'm not sure the exact airdrop that you're talking about or when it was. There have been a few times when we have airdropped tokens, essentially as part of what in our mandate is called, what is the technical word for it? Use case investment.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about
user acquisition is actually the bucket from the mandate.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it was pretty groundbreaking. I remember a lot of people talking about it cuz it's easily the biggest airdrop ever done in the space, and everybody was all talking about it, and a friend of mine worked at blockchain.com, and you guys have worked with them, and he was saying that it was just a total crazy situation to deal with all the thousands of people. But in terms of the anchors, I'd love to talk about that, because when I met with the Stellar team once upon a time a couple of years back in San Francisco, we talked a lot about how you guys were very focused on anchors. So could you walk us through the anchor basics and how that fits into SDF?
Sure. as I mentioned, Stellar is set up to so that it's easy to issue an asset on the network. And once an asset is on the network, it can take advantage of the highs of the fast speeds and the low fees and the interoperability of all the different players in the ecosystem to make it so that currencies represented on the network can easily be transferred and traded. Because Stellar not only stores balances, so you can hold X amount of any given asset, but you can also, because Stellar has built-in order books, you can also easily convert one asset to another, and you can easily convert one asset to another in the process of making a payment. So if you imagine a world where there are, in fact, different currencies represented on the Stellar network, you can very easily make a cross-border payment in a single transaction by sending, like I can send USD and you can receive euros, because it has these built-in order books and an operation called a path payment that allows the simultaneous sending and conversion of currencies. So picture that, there's a network, it has all these different assets, and it has this innate ability to transfer and transmute those assets. And then all of these different financial regulated financial institutions across the world, they sort of take a local currency and connect it to the Stellar network. And then they can receive fiat deposits of that given currency and represent it as a token on the network. And then it has all those advantages of this sort of network for that, those easy transactions. And on the flip side, they can allow users to redeem those tokens for the underlying fiat that they represent. So essentially, Stellar is set up to connect the world's currencies via these on-ramps that in the Stellar parlance we call anchors. And all of those anchors can interoperate. So what you end up with is essentially, instead of the current system of siloed payment systems, you have a single platform that connects all the world payment systems so that you can easily move currency, you can move your local currency on, transact in any of the world's currencies, and then you can also move your currency back off and into your bank account or into cash in your pocket. Those anchors, they interoperate using standards that are sort of agreed upon by the anchors and are codified in things called Stellar ecosystem proposals. So Stellar itself provides the mechanism or the platform for them to interoperate, but also they follow certain standards to basically plug in to their local rails and to allow users using any given Stellar app or to make deposits and withdrawals. So when it all comes together, you end up with this seamless world connecting platform that allows just general cross-border and cross-currency payments without the friction of the current system.
Yeah, and every time I think about senders and recipients and, you know, the kind of intermediaries that are taking place, like the banks and the financial institutions, for some reason I always think of when I get off a plane and there's that little like currency exchange, almost like a little booth where they're always like, yeah, we'll exchange your currency, and they have like various fees that are baked in. And I always imagine those fees kind of being three bankers sitting there, each one getting a little slice of that fee behind this little cart.
Yeah. And that's an example. Those kiosks are actually an example of like you're paying a fee, but it's a fairly frictionless way to transact, right? Like you can pretty easily in the airport take your dollars and exchange them for euros. Where there gets to be even more friction is when you start to connect something that doesn't have the same global liquidity, like Nigerian Naira. Mm-hmm. If you want to convert Nigerian Naira to euros, then the world system breaks down in a way that's even more extreme. And when I say breaks down, I mean, you can still do it using the current systems, but it's slow, it's expensive, and it makes it very, very difficult. And the reason is just because, you know, those financial systems, the correspondent banking system that allows the sort of transfer of assets across currencies, it just is not, it's pretty old school, right? And there is a way using blockchain technology to connect all those players without quite so many intermediaries and without all of the friction that they create. And so when you sort of combine payment, you know, messaging and settlement into a single action and make it so that you can immediately convert Naira to euros, then all of a sudden it just is a lot cheaper to make those transactions, a lot faster and a lot easier. And so for populations that have regional currencies that aren't as liquid, it really increases their ability to interact with the world's financial infrastructure. And so that's like kind of, you know, when I say that SDF, and when I say SDF, I mean the Stellar Development Foundation. When I say we're mission-driven, we view, you know, Stellar, the network has the potential to do that, to make those transactions, to reduce the transaction, the friction in those transactions, especially in places where people need that, where that friction hurts the most. That said, again, like Stellar is an open participation network. And for a lot of people who are building on Stellar, they choose to build on Stellar because it's good business. Mm-hmm. So there's sort of this amazing confluence or convergence of like our mission and business interests. So it's pretty cool. Like, you know, I feel like we can both solve some of the inequality that's created by the current financial infrastructure and also provide businesses with a more efficient way to transact that they can use to build, like to build better businesses, to, you know, improve their bottom lines. So it's kind of an interesting, you know, two ideas that could be in competition. I think Stellar finds a way for them to kind of cooperate. And so, you know, when SDF works to support the Stellar network, we are both providing technology that's good for business and also providing technology that can reduce the friction that makes it difficult to access the world's financial infrastructure.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a perfect segue into the foundation. I think we've gone over the basics of Stellar and the remittance that you guys are working on, the anchors and the kind of introductory concepts of what Stellar's doing. So with the mission of the Stellar Development Foundation or SDF, what's that mission? I know you touched on it briefly, but what's the mission and what are some of the initiatives that you guys are currently working on to kind of get this out there with these different different projects?
The mission of the SDF is to create equitable access to the global financial system. And the foundation is a participant in the broader ecosystem, and we help maintain the Stellar code base, which again is open source. So we're not the only people who contributed to it, but we do help maintain it. We support the technical and business communities that are building on Stellar. And we also serve as a speaking partner to regulators and institutions. Mm-hmm. So we help coordinate and shepherd the network. And we sort of steward the code. And we do that in a pretty public way. If you ever want to sort of see what the foundation is up to, one good thing to do is to go to our mandate page, which is just stellar.org/foundation/mandate. And this is where we sort of have transparent live updates of our sort of progress towards our goals. And if you look through here, it will outline the general areas that we're focusing on. And so we have a number of different areas, direct development, ecosystem support, use case investments, and user acquisition. And for each of those different areas of focus, we have like specific initiatives to support them. And also the lumens that we steward, they are distributed to support those different goals.
Got it. I love the idea that, you know, and also if anybody's interested, all of the links will be in the show notes and you guys can see the insanely stacked leadership team of the Stellar Foundation. You guys have an incredible team with amazing advisors, even Stripe. I remember seeing that, the CEO of Stripe was an advisor for you guys, and it's a pretty incredible leadership team. So if you guys are listening and you get a chance to check that out, it's definitely worth checking that out. And in terms of the team now, you know, you have your contributors. It's always kind of difficult in the crypto space, I've found, to get a sense of how big teams are. But before we jumped on the call, you know, we talked about San Francisco, New York City, members, you know, all around the world and things like that. But how big would you say the team is now for the foundation?
The foundation, between employees and contractors, we have about 80 people working for us, and we continue to grow. That's a really big increase from the size of the foundation, say, a year and a half ago, or when it was maybe 15 people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have whole teams of people that focus on different aspects of the foundation's goal. We have a lot of developers. We have a marketing team, a business development team, my team, which is ecosystem, you know, a legal team. And that's the foundation. You know, outside of the foundation, again, Stellar is open participation, and all of these different companies in the ecosystem are building on Stellar. And so when I talk about anchors, for instance, those, again, are regulated financial institutions that issue a local currency. And each of those is their own independent organization. And they all also obviously contribute to Stellar. They participate in the network. They run validating nodes. They have input on the code, and their businesses are the ones that are actually transacting on the network, right? And if you start to think about the ecosystem, it is also growing at a really great rate. Mm-hmm. And we've seen more anchors and more apps that take advantage of those anchors to provide services to people. And if you are talking about the ecosystem, you know, there's hundreds of companies, thousands of people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's perfect. That was kind of my next question. In terms of the applications that are built, do you guys keep track of how many there are? And could you give us examples of a couple of the apps that have been built out?
We do our best to keep track of all the applications and anchors that are building on the network. But the cool thing is that, again, it's they don't have to talk to SDF. No one has to talk to SDF to start building on Stellar. So yeah. You can build a product or service on Stellar without ever coming into contact with SDF. Now, we do our best to monitor. We're on the lookout, and we are here to lend support to all those companies. So I don't have a great perfect number, because at any given moment, there's a new company that's starting up that is testing out or even moving into production on Stellar. However, there are a lot of great companies that I am aware of, and I can give you some examples of those. So one of the prime use cases for Stellar is remittance or cross-border payments. Mm-hmm. And one way that those payments can happen is that two, what I've called anchors, which are the on-off ramps, they can basically interoperate to build a specific corridor, right? A remittance corridor or a cross-border payment corridor. And one of the biggest ones right now is between a company in Europe, I think it headquartered in France, called Tempo, and one in Nigeria, in Lagos, called Cowry. And they essentially facilitate payments for both consumers, remittance payments, and businesses, business-to-business payments, that move funds between Nigeria and Europe. And they just they sort of work together. They have businesses that are complementary, and there's a lot of transactions that happen specifically between those two parties. So if you log on to the Tempo app and you make a payment to someone in Nigeria, and you're sending euros and they're receiving naira, in the background, right? That payment is happening on Stellar Rails. And what's cool about that is that each of those companies has their own application and their own users. Those users don't necessarily know anything about Stellar. They don't even necessarily know that they're transacting on Stellar, but those companies can offer a great rate for those transactions and can do them really quickly because they have incorporated Stellar on the back end. Mm-hmm. So the front end interface is like, I'm using Tempo. In the background, that transaction to Nigeria happens via Stellar Rails. And that's one good example of what I call like an anchor-to-anchor transaction. A second kind of transaction and a second kind of app would be something like Lobster. Lobster is a consumer-facing wallet that is built on Stellar. You can download Lobster from the App Store. And once you have Lobster as a consumer, it's essentially like any consumer-facing payment app like Venmo or something, right? Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that Lobster allows you to transact across borders because all of the different assets that are on the Stellar network are represented in the Lobster interface. Not only that, but Lobster connects with the actual anchors that that serve as on-ramps so that you can, using the Lobster app, actually deposit fiat currency with an anchor, get the balance in your Lobster wallet, and use it to transact on the Stellar network. For example, if I'm in the United States, I can use Lobster to make a deposit with an anchor called Anchor USD, get my USD in my Lobster wallet, and transact with that USD. I can make a payment to someone, again, in Nigeria, using the Lobster interface. So that's a second kind of like app that's being built on Stellar, which is a user-facing wallet that gives you access to all the assets on the network. And then I would say a third kind an interesting app that's currently running on Stellar is an app called Vibrant. Vibrant, as opposed to Lobster, which gives you access to all the assets on the Stellar network, Vibrant is a wallet that is for Argentinians. It allows them to deposit ARS, Argentinian pesos, and easily convert their Argentinian pesos to a US dollar token balance. And so they can hold their balance in USD in a wallet and convert it back to ARS anytime that they need to make a local payment. And so what that allows them to do is hold their balance in a currency that is more stable than their local currency, but still be able to transact locally with their local currency. And the fourth and final app that I'll talk about is an app called Destock. Destock, again, is a specific focused Stellar app. And what it gives users the ability to do is buy stocks. So it there are tokenized representations on Stellar of certain stocks. I think, you know, Google, Tesla. And you can, with Destock, purchase those tokens. And again, you can use local on-ramps to get your balance in your local currency in order to make those transactions. The cool thing about that is that Destock can serve regions that don't have easy access to those kinds of financial instruments. So those are kind of four different kinds of user apps, or four different kinds of apps or services built on Stellar: anchor to anchor for cross-border payments, a total app that gives a wallet interface that gives total access to all the assets on Stellar, a specific targeted interface that gives people the ability to hold US dollars, and a specific targeted interface that gives people the ability to buy stocks. When you start to think about those different cases, that's what you can do with Stellar, right? You can either give total access to all the assets on Stellar and let the users of your app like sort of transact in this big and robust way, or you can think of a product that can take specific advantage of this, of Stellar's features, and offer a more tailored experience. And it's cool because all of those apps, you know, they're being developed based on ideas that people, you know, that sort of fintech companies have about new ways to offer financial products and services. And there's just like, Stellar is so flexible that there's just a lot that you can do with it. You just sort of have to picture what it is that you want to do, and then think about how this new platform that represents all the world's assets, how that backend can sort of serve you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the overview of those projects. I did get a chance to dig around in the ecosystem on the Stellar site and was really impressed by the amount of projects that are currently operating on Ledger or on Stellar. I think it's fantastic that you guys are able to accommodate and help if they need help, but it is permissionless. They can literally go on there, start building, and notify you if they want, or they can just operate. I think that that's a really powerful concept. And also, you know, it's so interesting how living in the United States, we kind of take technology like this, I won't say for granted entirely, but it is very like life-changing for a lot of different countries out there. And, you know, on your site, you guys have things about Zimbabwe with inflation and things like that. And I think that this type of technology could completely change places like that. And I think that I take it for granted, you know, how much access we have here in the United States. And often a lot of people feel the same way, where you just have this little kind of bubble in the United States, and you guys doing this cross-border thing is very macro. And I really appreciate that. And that's kind of a segue into the final piece here, which is what you're excited about. You know, you're managing the ecosystem. There's a lot of projects working on Stellar. So you have this cool perspective on where things are kind of going, if you are keeping track of a lot of these projects that are building on there. What are you excited about now that things are really picking up? Like you said, the ecosystem is growing at a rapid pace. What are you personally excited about now that you have your hand on the pulse of the ecosystem?
Yeah, there's so much that's starting to happen. And I will say that I think in general with blockchain, what we're hoping for, and by this, I'm sort of speaking broadly, but let's just say anyone who's interested in the technology, I think it's clear that there's a lot of existing systems that can be transformed by the underlying technology of blockchain, right? It can create efficiencies, it can create access, it can make it a lot easier to build better financial products that serve the world better. And so I think where we are right now, I'm interested in seeing just greater blockchain adoption in general. Mm-hmm. So as people start to understand how to build better products, as things like, you know, how to do it in a way that complies with local regulations, how to do it in a way that it maintains consumer protection, I think we'll end up in a world where the rails that blockchain creates, consumers will be able to use them. And ideally, I think they'll be able to use them without having to understand the intricacies of how blockchain works. I'm excited that ultimately this whole backend system of payments, and I'm not just talking about the Stellar network here, I'm talking about blockchain networks in general, as it starts to sort of replace inefficient backends, the benefits will be felt by the world at large. And I think that there's a moment that we're starting to come to where people are understanding how to integrate blockchain in a way that it doesn't, consumers don't have to like understand it, right? I think the example here is like your cell phone, right? When your cell phone relies on a network of cell towers, and how cell transmission works is really irrelevant when you make a phone call. Mm-hmm. It's just the phone works, or when you send a text message, the text goes through. I think that blockchain will be like cell phone technology, where it will transform the mobile, like the phones that everyone has in their pockets into access points to the world's financial infrastructure. And they won't have to, in general, you won't have to have a deep understanding of exactly how it all works, because it'll be sort of embedded into these really cool projects.
Well said. I agree. Operating in the background, using the advantages of the technology is where the future lies, for sure. Well, those are all the questions I have for you, Justin. Where can people go and learn more about the Stellar Development Foundation?
I would say to learn more about Stellar, go to stellar.org. And the best place to start your journey is in the Learn section, which you'll find, I think if you navigate up at the top, there's just a Learn section. It'll walk you through all the basics of Stellar. On that same site, stellar.org, you'll also see, it's basically under ecosystem, the ecosystem tab. There's a big section on the Stellar Development Foundation that has everything about the team, our roadmap, our mandate, our blog, and the different initiatives that we support to grow the ecosystem.
Awesome. Well, if you guys are listening on Spotify or iTunes, definitely check all the links in the show notes that Justin just mentioned. But once again, thank you so much for coming on the show, Justin. This was really, really cool hearing everything about the ecosystem on Stellar.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is great.